I haven't heard of you before. It's the unknown. Unknown. It's the unknown. Unknown preacher.
Beautiful people, welcome to the Unknown Preacher LA. I'm your host, the Unknown Preacher, aka LA, aka Lonzo. And with me today, Pastor Bernadette Martin. How are you?
So, Lonzo, I'm good. How are you?
I am great. I'm great. Hey, did you see or hear anything about the BET Awards?
I did. Someone gave a recap on Facebook, so that's...
Mm-hmm. Yeah, me too. You know, and it's been years. Honestly, it's been years since I watched the BET Awards.
Mm-hmm.
But I was watching clips on social media as well, and one particular clip, it really got my attention, and that was Jamie Foxx's speech. And I really wanted to kind of start off like playing that sound bite and just kind of hear what you think, because it, I think emotionally it touches us, but it's so much to unpack from his post or from that speech. So I'm going to play that real quick.
Man, we used to take this saying for granted, that God is good. God is good. And all the time, I cannot even begin to express the love that I feel from everybody out there. I gotta be honest. When I saw the memoriam, yeah. Hey, when I saw that memoriam, I was like, man, it could have been me. But I don't know why I went through what I went through. But I know my second chance, I'm not going to turn down. I'm not going to turn down. I have so much love to give. I told him, I said, man, bro, just give me one more crack at this. And I promise, I said, whatever reason you put this on me, I promise I'm going to do right. And I'm going to do right in front of y'all, because I know a lot of times, you know, when we get on, you know, we forget about where we come from. I said,
what are your thoughts, Bernadette?
I think that's highly profound.
Yeah.
You know, there he was, you know, laying on his bed of affliction with some thought was his deathbed, you know, and he pretty much did like Hezekiah, you know, turned his face toward the wall and, you know, asked for, you know, another shot.
Yeah.
I think we all have been in that place in some form of fashion, maybe not on our bed of affliction, but maybe we dropped the ball in some area and, you know, needed a second chance. Yeah. And so, we see God's grace and we see his mercy show up for us. And, but no, that's really profound, hearing him say when he saw the memoriam and know yeah. that he could have been there. Like, that's deep. Like,
yeah. It does send chills a little when you think about it, how close we can be, you know, yeah. to that transition. And I'll tell you, when I heard it, I went to, it's not by accident. It's not coincidental when when God places, you know, a miracle in our lives like that, where, because he's really a walking miracle for a lot of reasons. And, you know, it's also a way to spotlight God's glory and to show how much he loves us. And I think when he does that, especially in a life-saving situation, it definitely enhances our faith. And some of us, because like even hearing that, it's like, wow, he sounds like he's on fire, like for the Lord. And I think when we have those experiences, you know, we just put it, it's something in us. I know a pastor who had a massive heart attack, and he is like, when I tell you on fire for the Lord, he got that second chance, and he's just in a much better place spiritually and really spreading the gospel. And so it's going to be interesting to see how Jamie, you know, moves forward with this. So, and I just kept hearing also like second chance. So, and let me ask you this. Do you have like a second chance moment or a situation that you can think of?
Trying to think. Not as in depth as that, I would say. I guess I don't know. I guess my mom told me the story that when I was born, you know, I have a twin brother. We came early. Yeah. I was supposed to be born March 5th, came December 31st. And so when we were born, I didn't cry. Mm. And so they had to rush me out of the delivery room. But, and you know, I often tell the enemy, you know, you should have killed me when you had the chance. Mm. But since you didn't have the authority, and since you could, you know, I'm going to wreak havoc on your kingdom every chance that I get. So I guess it's something like that. Now, I've been sick, but when I was on my bed of affliction, I knew that I was coming out on the other side. So it's been some times where I dropped the ball, you know. You know, I hear just doing what I wanted to do. And I got the second chance, you know, God covers us, you know, in our foolish seasons, and, you know, nothing to it. It's not coming to mind. What about you?
So I actually think I was going to say several second chances, you know, but when you're hard, like me, like really hard. No, I'm just playing. But when you have those situations, it really changes you. I can think of a time when I was like struggling, young guy. I couldn't even afford to get new tires, and it was raining pretty hard, and I was on this major avenue, and my car got out of control in the middle of 5 o'clock traffic, and I'm just spinning downhill, like just going in circles. And you know how when those traumatic things occur, everything looks like it's in slow motion, right? And so I'm looking to my left and right, I'm looking all over, and it just like all the traffic just stopped, like all the cars to make certain they didn't collide with me, they stopped in the middle of this avenue, and I'm still going downhill. And then I actually ended up on the side of the road without a scratch on the car at all. Hmm. And I just knew with the speed we were going, traffic congestion, that it was going to be like this bad accident. And so to me, that was definitely a second chance and made me like rethink certain things going on in my life at that time. And then I can think of, like I said, there's been several moments where it just made me thank God that there was a second chance, that in a split second, it could have went left and I wouldn't be here right now. sharing this, but another vehicle accident where I struck a tree and was briefly unconscious. But the most recent, which was part of the spark for the podcast, was I was overdoing it, working out, and I go into Walgreens, and I just I wasn't feeling well and didn't see it coming. I just totally just blacked out in the middle of the parking lot, and I come to, and there are people just around me. Like, anyone could have done anything. It could have gone, like, really left. And so when I came out of that moment, I really just started assessing things, like things that I said I was going to do, and this podcast was one of them. And so I know that was a long-winded answer, but yeah, that sparked the Unknown Preacher LA podcast. So
okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And you know, when you and when you do it, I guess, like, maybe you should tell this story more often, but because sometimes when you give those testimonies, it just really resonates with people, and they understand what the motive is behind what you're doing. Of course, you're spreading the gospel, but why at this juncture? You know, why now? And when everything else is going on, people sometimes can't understand, like, you got all these other balls in the air. Why now? Why are you doing this? And that can be challenging, you know, for any ministry, you know. So when you're, it's always challenging. We all have challenges in our ministry, people trying to, I'll step back and ask you, what's been the most challenging role in your ministry or part of your ministry? And how did you overcome it?
I think the most challenging thing in my ministry that I've faced today is when I had to eulogize my 4-year-old cousin. I was out of town when I got word that he passed. You know, he passed unexpectedly. And you think, like, it's a baby. And he's a baby, you know, and you have all of these questions, and I had questions. So I knew, you know, mom and dad and, you know, his grandparents and, you know, his aunt and uncle had aunts and uncles had questions. And definitely his, you know, cousins. But it's like, God, why is, you know, there's just some things that just we just cannot comprehend.
Yeah.
And in those moments, we know that we just have to bow, you know, humbly to the will of God. It's, you know, as painful as it is, we still have to bow, you know, to his sovereign will. And, you know, we may not ever understand on this side of, you know, on this side, why, you know, he took the baby at 4 years old. And you know, we may not understand when we see him face to face, but we know that God always has a purpose and a plan. But that was the most challenging thing to do, to have to go and eulogize him, you know. And I'm standing there, you know, they play a slideshow, you know, mm-hmm. I'm boo-hooing, you know, crying, you know, you know, you feel, when people die, you feel the grief, you know, you feel the pain, you know, of those closest to the person. And then because you can, either you're sympathizing or you're empathizing. And so having to stand there and look out and see, you know, his mom and dad, I'm like, oh, God, you want me to do what? You want me to stand up here and comfort them and encourage them, you know, all while I talk about their baby. I mean, that's been the most challenging thing in my ministry to date. Wow. And it took me a while, you know, after the funeral, you know, I noticed that I carried that pain for a while. It almost kind of, it altered me, you know, it altered me in a sense. And so it's like the movie, you know, I don't know if you saw Tyler Perry's new movie Straw.
I did.
Yeah, and so when when the whole movie, when I saw the entire movie, it kind of made me, you know, flashback, and I could see how she, you know, I was like, wow. And so he touched on the disassociation piece.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a survival mechanism.
Yes.
That a lot of people don't understand. I saw some people calling it a plot twist. It's not a plot twist. It's a survival mechanism. Like, our brains will start to do things in order to help us survive and as well as cope.
Yes.
So yeah, that when I saw that the other day, it, you know, made me think about, you know, think about the pain and what could have been possibly going on, you know, in the parents, in the houses and the lives of parents who have lost children. And so,
yeah. I absolutely, that's a powerful story. And I'll tell you, it reminded me of, I remember years ago in Sunday school, and the teachers of that class, that Sunday school class, were this amazing couple. But what they shared, they talked about friends of theirs who lost their baby at a hot, and right, I want to say maybe a few days after the baby was born. Mm-hmm. And the medical staff there was just as distraught as they were, but their faith, like, really took over that moment. And so they were thanking God for that short period. They were also saying, you know, that their baby's in a better place. And what that did, it was their faith, and it was a model for the medical staff. And they talked about some of the staff members being saved in such a tragic moment. You think that, you know, when you're trying to question existence, life, you know, why is this happening? And then they see these people exemplify the strong faith and represent Christianity, and they're like, man, I need to learn more about Jesus, you know. That's immediately what I thought about. And everyone deals with it. The past 3 or 4 years have been like really, I've lost some very close people to me. And so I understand, because all of us have dealt with the loss differently. But when you do, when you're able to exercise that faith through a moment like that, you just never know who's watching you. And did too. It was like, wow, you know. So you just can't. I don't know. You always say, well, they say that a child leaving the world is nature in reverse, because that child is supposed to see their parents leave, right? So it's expected for us. I guess that's what I'm saying. It's expected for us to grieve and like you said, have a like detach ourselves from it to cope. That's expected. No one's, you know, judging or questioning that. But when you're able to really use that moment to What word am I looking for, Bernadette? Maybe minister through position or through actions. It is really very, it's so impactful. That makes sense.
Yeah. It's, you know, it is impactful. And as you were speaking, I was thinking about, you know, we really don't mourn as those who have no hope.
Yeah.
You know, we hear all the, you know, we hear scripture sometimes, but it's something about when God makes the scriptures come alive in our lives, and we'll never look at it or perceive it the same way again. You know, we really don't mourn as those who have no hope. but we don't learn that until we go through something that causes us to mourn. But in our mourning, it still causes us to, you know, to sometimes, you know, bow down with our faces, you know, towards the ground in humble submission and still worship him, you know, in that moment of the deepest grief that we've ever known. And then too, we also see Romans 8:28 come to life, you know, and we know that all things, you know, work together for the good of those who love God and are the called according to his purpose. It's all things, the things that cause us to mourn, the things that cause us to laugh, you know, the three things that cause us the greatest joy and the, you know, the most grief, you know, all things, they work together.
Amen. I love that. I'm glad you shared that scripture with us. Thank you. Thank you. And I'll say for me, I was just sitting here trying to think of like those challenges. There are a number. I think what stands out to me is, and I don't have any hesitation in saying that I'm trying to figure out the right way, but I don't know if it sometimes feels like a competition in ministry sometimes, like, I don't know. How do I put it? Like, if people are trying to test to see, hey, do you know about the, or are you knowledgeable about this scripture or that scripture? Or you, I don't know. And maybe they, I don't know. It just seems like either they're, and it may be a pride thing, either, and of course not all, because I have a pretty large circle when it comes to clergy and people that I connect with on a regular basis, but some who feel like if I'm always, you know, quoting it, I don't know, it feels that way, because you can't judge anyone's heart condition, you don't know, but sometimes it just feels like it's a competition versus ministries coming together and really trying to spread the gospel and impact lives. I know Bishop Cranford Davis is saying that relationships is the new currency. And so that, to me, I take it as we should be working together and trying to spread the gospel together, not, hey, my ministry is better than yours, or I'm doing it this way, the way you're doing it's wrong, because God is relatable to all of us in different ways. We all have our own individual journeys. And so I should never knock your ministry or how you're doing things because it's not in line with the way I'm doing it. Am I making sense? Or?
Yeah. I think sometimes, let me just say this, ministry should never be a competition. Like, because first of all, first and foremost, ministry is not about us. It's not about us at all. And, you know, it's, but we all come to the table with different gifts and graces. And I think the quicker we start to understand that and we start to embrace each other for, you know, who we are and what we are able to do, we'll be further down the road. But I hate to find out that somebody's attempting to compete with me, and I'm like, first of all, you didn't inform me, because if you informed me that you wanted to compete against me, I would have shut it down from jump. But I think competition is sometimes rooted in jealousy, and jealousy is rooted in insecurity. And so, but ministry ain't about none of this, you know. It's just not, and it shouldn't be a competition. And you know, like the Bible says, you know, everybody who says Lord, Lord, not gonna enter. And so,
I love that. I love what you said. Yeah, I absolutely love that. So it's just something to chew on, because we're all supposed to have the same, you know, the same goal in mind.
And, yeah.
You know, winning souls over for, you know, for Christ. And we're running interference when we do that. And we add question and doubt to those who aren't there yet in faith. And, you know, like, they can't even get along, you know. So, yeah, yeah. I always enjoy these discussions, Bernadette. So coming up, and I'm really excited about this, Pastor Kurt, Minister Gail Campbell, well, Kurt and Gail Campbell, the Campbells, and Evangelist Wanda Devine. And we're going to talk about gossiping, man. That's a... This is something I've been wanting to do. I think I've scheduled this probably 6 months ago, because it's like I have so many stories to tell on that. But do you have like a gossiping nugget or well, let me ask you this. Why do you think gossiping is so tempting?
I think there is a, I think there's like a science or a psychology behind gossip.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think it's, how do I want to word this? I sometimes think people gossip because it causes them to shift the attention off of them, onto somebody else. I think sometimes people gossip because they're just not good friends.
Yeah.
And I think the other reason people sometimes gossip is because we sometimes don't know what to do with our time. And so gossip is just, you know, idle talk or rumors. And so if we learn how to utilize our time better, you know, all the gossiping can be eradicated.
Yes.
It's yes. I think it's like a, it's rooted in entitlement too. Like, hey, I have this information and so I need to let you know what I know, but it's like, it's not your place to tell, you know, it's not going to help anybody or anything. So,
yeah, I totally agree. I agree with all that, especially you said, it's psychological too, or psychological components to it. And I definitely agree. And I also, when you think about Maslow's hierarchy theory, right? And so socially belonging to someone, to a group is really on that list of importance. And so when we're, I think there's a social need to it. Like I'm conversing with you, I'm giving this information, but there's this moment of bonding. It may not be for the best thing or have the best intentions behind it, but there is a form of bonding going on. So that's one. The other thing is that, like you just said, kind of that power, like I have this information you don't have, so I get to share this, and it makes me feel powerful or prideful, you know. And then, honestly, I say it all the time, it's entertaining. You know, it feels good sometimes. It just, hey, did you hear about, until the shoe's on the other foot, right? But, because when someone tells us, I think, innate by nature, because we are by nature born into sin, and so when we hear this juicy information by nature, our ears perk up. It's like, wow, what is this about? And it's to me, just from growing up and what I've seen and in churches and real, you know, in real world at work, all of that is just it's probably one of the hardest things to overcome, I think. You know, we talk about all these other, you know, things, but gossiping is probably one of the things that's most damaging to ministries into, you know, a person's reputation. So mm-hmm. I am looking forward to this conversation with my panelists.
I'm sure it's gonna be a good one, and some good jewels are gonna be dropped.
Yes. Any final words before we close out?
I just pray that this, you know, podcast episode will bless somebody, whether it's somebody who's needing a, you know, a second chance, or somebody, you know, just going through a challenging time right now in their ministry, because we're all ministers, you know, to keep looking up. And maybe somebody here, you know, listening with a gossiping spirit. I think, you know, with the discussion going on, I think it's going to bring some highly needed insight.
Yes.
And probably the chains of gossip will be broken. You know, will fall off of us. And,
amen.
Because everybody gossips.
Yes.
You know, some more than others, but everybody gossips. And so I think when we start to become a little bit more aware of our actions, you know, become more intentional about the words we speak, you know, and see, you know, start asking ourselves, you know, is it true? Is it necessary? And is it kind? And if it's all three categories, then go for it. But if not, you know, it may be true, but is it necessary? And if it's not kind, please keep it to yourself. And so, I really pray that we all get what we need out of this, out of this episode.
I really appreciate you sharing that and saying that. I couldn't have said it better. That's why you're here sharing the mic with me, man.
Virgin collard greens, squash and tomatoes, apples and okra and fresh sweet potatoes. $25 bag stuffed full of grub. These are the things at the Black Farmers Hub. Ooh, ooh. Onions and radishes, turnips and tamarind, turmeric and garlic and ginger's on hand here. Black beans, cucumbers, zucchini and hay. Let's not forget Nature's 360 Cafe. Fresh pressed juices, we've got smoothies, acai bowls too. From herb soup, cheese and wines made locally, it's at the Black Farmer's Hub.
All right, beautiful people, we're back. And so when you read the Bible, you'll see that gossiping is mentioned in the good book, and it's described as something that can be destructive. Amen, amen. And today we're going to tackle this very, very complex issue. So with me today, I have my trusted circle, y'all, the Campbells, Pastor Kirk Campbell, Minister Gail Campbell, and my childhood friend, evangelist Wanda Devon. Welcome, y'all. How is everyone doing?
Wonderful.
Doing well.
Good.
Thank y'all. Yes, thank y'all so much for being here. So we'll just go ahead and get right into it, because I know how our panels can go. But I'll start with, I want to ask Pastor Campbell this. How would you define gossip from a biblical perspective?
Well, the Bible does speak of gossip, and we often hear the term tale-bearing, versus the term gossip, especially if you're reading older renditions of the Bible, older versions of the Bible, we hear the term tale-bearing. I have to agree with the word that it is idle talk that actually is destructive, as we had already said. It's destructive. It is not, it doesn't help for relationships. It doesn't help for building better characters. It's mainly to tear one down instead of building them up. And Amen. The Bible speaks against us tearing people down, even if there's evil that's done within their with that they have committed. We still have an obligation, maybe to tell people of their wrong, but and to also lift them up and give them encouragement, not leave them at the end of a tale or in gossip. So the Bible speaks of that clearly in the Old Testament and in the New Testament.
I absolutely would love what you said about the idle talk and the rumors, the slander. It's very, very damaging. Thank you so much. I appreciate that.
Can I just add that what Pastor Campbell certainly that's exactly correct. And I just want to read one scripture in the Old Testament where it talks about the unrighteous witness. And a gossiper is an unrighteous witness. A person that's witnessing something that's not true or witnessing something that's going to cause and tear down somebody. I just want to read this scripture, Exodus 23:1, but I'm going to use the Message translation if that's okay. Okay, thank you. It says, don't link up with a wicked person and give corrupt testimony. Don't go along with the crowd and do evil, and don't mess up your testimony in case just to please the crowd. And just because someone is poor, don't show favoritism in a dispute. And then verse 6 says, stay clear of false accusations. Don't contribute to the death of innocent and good people. Don't let the wicked off the hook. So, you know, gossip, I'm sorry, it's one of the rudimental foundations that the enemy used to try to come against the believer, to distort our witness and to cause confusion amongst the kingdom of God. And that's an old trick of the enemy. And that's a pet peeve of mine. Because I think that, you know, that the enemy utilizes that when we're not mature to understand the fight that we are against as believers. I'm speaking as a kingdom believer, as a person in Christ, and mature in Christ. We understand how the enemy operates, and he utilizes that something so simple as saying something false or unrighteous. Against another to tear us all down.
Amen.
To tear the kingdom of God down.
Yes. And so let me ask you this. I'm glad you said that. I want to ask you, why do you think gossip is so tempting? Because I'll be honest with you, it's so easy to slide into it. It feels good to, you know, just, hey, man, have you heard? You know, and to be the person sometimes have that information no one else has, you know. But so why do you think gossip is so tempting?
When you first of all, if an individual wants to entertain false information about a subject matter or a person or individual, then that they'll utilize gossip. That's why I said it was a pet peeve of mine, especially in the kingdom of God, or just in general. You know, so an individual that wants to use unrighteous wording to tear a person down, whether it's by their character or just to oppose an individual, then that's why individuals utilize their wording to distort and destroy an individual from becoming whom they are in Christ, or just to tear down their character. So that's why most individuals are tempted by that. And when a person is insecure, it's easy for them to utilize that level of weaponry or that pathway to distort somebody else or to tear somebody else down, especially if they are insecure.
Man. Thank you.
I concur. One of the things that it has come to mind is gossip. It seems to make the person that's gossiping feel like they have the upper hand on their conversation. And it also seems as if it it builds them up. But you can't really build yourself up if you're tearing someone else down. But a lot of people use that tactic to build themselves up. Also, it is a deflection. Gossip becomes a deflection of maybe of what you are doing when you maybe can find something, a fault in someone else. It becomes a deflection of your faults when actually through the gossip, you are really reflecting, not deflecting, you're reflecting on yourself more so than the other person.
I love that because, oh, were you going to say something, Minister Campbell? I'm sorry.
I'm finished.
Yeah, were you going to say something? Where,
oh, no, I was just saying, absolutely. That was me.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. I would just want to make certain. I didn't want to be rude, but I love what Pastor Campbell just talked about as far as, because that need to feel superior, you know, and putting others down can be intoxicating sometimes, and it's easy to fall into it. I do just remind everyone of what Philippians 2:3, do nothing out of selfish ambition, vain conceit. And really, it can be so tempting, feeling good to have that information that no one else has. It makes you feel like, hey, I have this on this person, or I have information that you didn't know about. I was the first one to share it, right?
But, yeah.
Minister Campbell.
Yes, sir.
So let me ask you, what do you think is usually at the root cause of gossip?
Well, there are multiple things. First of all, you need to get a life where some folks just don't have a life. And so they're sharing and injecting in someone else's business or what they heard. And again, I believe it is in part to either get attention to yourself or put out negative information on someone else a lot of times, and it makes you look better, or you think it makes you look better. But most of the time, gossip, as far as its definition, is harmful. And it could be, it also shows not just you don't have a life, but then whatever is going on in your life is not satisfying to you, to the point where you've got to share or speak on what you think you know and what you might know and what's actually rumor. There's a saying, an old saying talking about, it says, believe half of what you see and none of what you hear. And one thing I experienced actually the Bible speaks, and I didn't even write down, I wrote down other scriptures, but I believe it's in Timothy where it's talking about the women and the housewives not gossiping, and they were lending the issue of gossiping to women. But I found out when I started working in the police department that we share equally, male and female, with the gossip, because if you want some gossip, work with, and I'm not bashing men, but I'm bringing men, my brothers, in, because I thought it was something working with the phone company and with predominantly women. Yeah. But when I got on the department and could hear how my string and hamstring became a broken pelvis.
Oh,
and this was all talk within my work unit, within my squad. And so that's how easily something can get wrong. How it was being talked about. When I got back, I came back within a week from a fractured pelvis.
Mm.
Common sense would tell you that that was wrong, but that's what was being said. And so that's all a part of gossip. It can be destructive. It can be untruthful. But then as I was also, you know, just doing a little research on gossip and its definitions and all of that, it's not always negative. Mm. You're still talking, but it's not always a negative. It can be, you can be talking about something that's positive. But for the most part, gossip, the term in itself has the negative connotations. But my main thing is the reason why people gossip is you just don't have enough going on in your life.
Oh,
you done took this and ran off with it.
Well,
the Bible, I believe it's in Proverbs, the Bible speaks of tale bearing or gossiping, sort of like being a morsel of food, where one enjoys it. You know, it's almost like this is an appetite for you to gossip. And so I believe those that are sound in the Lord need to change their eating habits to that which is not gossiping, but rather lifting up people. And if we're talking to about people in the church, that is expected. The Lord expects us to do that, even from the fruit of the Spirit. We're not around to tear each other down, but build one up. Even if we know some things about another person, and we just have this desire to just share it. It may not be fruitful. It may not be right for us to share those things, but to encourage, to lift up someone, even if we know things about them. And sometimes gossip is just getting in other folks' business that you have no business being in.
Amen.
Well, that's what gossip is. It's also getting in someone's business that you have no business being in.
So, Pastor Campbell, is there a difference between concern and gossip?
Yes.
Gotcha.
I believe there is a difference between concern and gossip. I was reading 1 Corinthians chapter 5. That's something that Paul had heard of an immoral act that was going on in the church.
Mm-hmm.
And this immoral act that was going on in the church, he had concern about that because it affected the whole body. Therefore, he said, a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. So in his concern, he wanted the person that was committing the immoral act. And now, mind you, the person that was committing the immoral act was calling themselves a brother in the Lord. And what Paul says, he says, we should not be concerned about if something is going out in the world, but you don't stop talking to people that are doing things that are going out in the world. But he did say, this is happening in the house of God. And so therefore, there has to be an account. So his concern was that this be dealt with so that the body of Christ can still go forward and not look like the body of Christ is the world or a mirror image of the world. And so there is a difference between concern and I believe if we have a concern, we ought to, instead of gossiping about it, we ought to go to the person as Jesus gave an order for us to deal with people that individual first. Then if it cannot be dealt with the individual alone, then you go to, you move up into more people getting involved. But our problem is with gossip, we spread this information and it's like a forest fire. You just say a little word and if you basically ignite it, a wildfire that is hard to get under control once it's out there.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you. And Evangelist Devine, let me ask you this, piggybacking off of what Pastor Campbell touched on, how can we examine our motives before we share something about someone?
Well, one of the first things we can do is ask, what benefit is this going to do to correct or encourage the individual? If it's a negative communication and you know it's going to tear down somebody, then, you know, there's no, what purpose of you having to discuss it? What purpose are you having to talk about it or spread it to somebody that knew this, not unaware? If it's not to enhance that individual, if you're not discussing it with someone that can encourage that individual or someone that can correct that individual or someone that can direct that individual in the right pathway, then there's no reason for you to actually discuss it. You can pray for the individual. And it's like the man of God said, Pastor Campbell stated, that, you know, if you can't bring those individuals together, especially if it's a dispute between more than one party, and or if you just heard something about somebody, and it may be truthful. You know, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. That's what the word of God says. And when we fall short, the word of God said, he which are spiritual, restore such a one. It's our job to restore individuals that has fallen in sin, because we have fallen in sins ourselves. So we need somebody to restore us. And God provided that restoration so that we can continue on with the gospel of Jesus Christ and not be overtaken by the enemy's tactics to destroy us. So yeah, we as individuals, we have, you know, if it's not beneficial, you know, to help bring that individual out of the state of sin, out of the state of error, then there's no reason for you to discuss it amongst someone else that is not aware or just even may be aware. Your discussion should be something that's going to correct the situation or correct the individual so they can get on the right path of righteousness.
Amen. Amen. Thank you so much. Minister Campbell, how has gossip, and we're going to talk about the church, how has gossip hurt the church?
Gossip hurts the witness of the church, of the saints, of the fellowship, the organization itself. It hurts the witness of it, and it adds on to that famous terminology of church hurt. I'm not going to speak of the church name.
This episode is brought to you by Kingdom Harvest Church, helping people discover, develop, demonstrate, and duplicate God's love as disciple-making leaders. Visit their webpage at www.khcnc.org. Kingdom Harvest Church.
I witnessed where in this one particular church body, where all of these folks were supposed to be friends and hanging out together and eating and doing ABC together inside the church and outside of the church. And one of those people in that group had access to some information that it was okay for them to have access to it, but what they did in their position, they spread it to multiple people in this same group of people. And then not only that, they got together at one of the members' houses simply to talk about it, to have a conversation about it, not to pray about it. And that person that they were talking about, it was really stemming from the actions of a family member. What that family member did was correct. It was right. There was a lawsuit that was brought, and they should have brought it. But that person that was in the position at the church had access to the information. And instead of keeping it there where it should have remained, they made phone calls, going around phone calls to at least six people in the group. And they all met at another person's house to just talk about it. And so it didn't change anything. It didn't build it didn't build the church up. It certainly did not build their witness up. And the person that they were talking about was a key person in this group of people. They were all supposed to be friends, but the person that was in the office that had access and there should have been an expectation of privacy, did not hold that, took that information and not just talked about it, but ran with it. And here they meeting together at one of their houses while they eat and talk about this. Then they come right back into the church setting and you're ready to minister in the way that you minister and thinking that you're ministering effectively when you're not, when you destroy your anointing because of your verbal actions and your taking part in that gossip session. Now, it didn't take away from the person that they were gossiping about, because they went on about their business and still did what they did in the kingdom of God. But it did not help any of these folks that were in the church organization. And so when people do things like that, that keeps others that are sitting back watching, well, I'm not going to say anything to the pastor. I'm not going to say anything to the deacons. I'm not going to say anything to the assistant ministers. I'm not going to say anything to anybody in this church because I cannot trust them to keep my confidence because they're telling. And that's from leadership on down. So gossip can be very, very destructive in the church, and it can cause the loss of people that would be in the ministry to be out of it or to just get out of the church altogether. And there is a consequence for those things when you hurt someone in the kingdom like that. So I would be very careful with who I share what with and what I share it with them, because it's likely, honestly, by the time you can tell me you went to the Red and White store to get some chicken legs and some shrimp, by the time I repeat it, I can say you went to the Red store to get some beef. And then that person, and by the time it gets to the third or the second person, it's all messed up. So you really have to be careful what you share And not only that, but who you share it with, and then even how you're receiving it. Like, okay, wait a minute, what are you talking about? They said, who are they? I can't stand that term, they, because if you say they, then you better be prepared to give me a name. Otherwise, you ain't telling me nothing because you don't know anything. But I digress.
Amen. That was so spot on. Thank you, Gail, as always. You bring it. And I know I like what you said about leadership, because leadership is just so, so important when you talk about either diminishing the spread of gossip or enhancing this virus in the church. So, Pastor Campbell, how should church leadership deal with gossip among members or ministers?
Well, we have to deal with things in the church according to scripture. And when we deal with things in church according to scripture and using the correct scripture for the issue, then we will find that the answers to what we need to the issues that we need to deal with are simplified, or they're there for our edification. So church leaders, I believe that when we hear something, or when gossip is first spreading, we don't want to be the bearers, the tail bearers of that gossip. So because the tongue is an unruly evil, you know, it once somebody says something from the tongue, the tongue seems like it can just cut people and shred people up, even though someone said the tongue doesn't even have a bone in it, but it can lash out very hard at someone. Yeah. We have to deal with that according to scriptures. And if we understand the scriptures better, then we can move forward in giving the proper instruction for the issues. That's why in the letters of Timothy, it says all scripture is given by inspiration and is profitable for correction and doctrine. And we have those things for correction and for teaching, then leadership and the church will flow much better. But if we just come off it on the cuff, I'm afraid that we may be coming of what we feel instead of what the Bible says we should do.
Amen. Thank you so much. Leadership is extremely, extremely important. This is for Evangelist Divine, Wanda. Now we're going to talk about intestinal fortitude right here. So what should a Christian do when someone starts gossiping in front of them?
First and foremost, you identify, wait a minute, I'm not going to be the tool that you can come to gossip. You identify that that's not a characteristic of a believer. Mm-hmm. And I'm not that individual that you can come to dump that information. So, and with identifying that, you were exposed to the individual that you're operating in a way that the enemy is using you, utilizing you, because you're wanting to spread that gossip. So to others. And if you're not bringing that information to me to help that individual or to correct the individual, as I said it before, then what purpose are you communicating that to me?
Yeah.
So you have to stop gossip in its track. You have to call a liar a liar. You have to expose darkness for what it is. And yes. Even if sometimes it may hurt the individual, or it may cause the individual to feel some type of way about you. But what if God tells light and dark doesn't have any fellowship? So if you're walking in darkness, then I have to expose the light so that you can correct yourself. Because, you know, the word of God teaches us that if we find our brother in the fault, you know, we have to restore that individual. And it's important that we be an example of how we should carry ourselves, how we should respond, how we should, the type of conduct that we should as a believer. Because unbelievers are looking at all times to accuse the brethren. You know, that's the enemy's job to make us expose our errors. And we all have, I don't care how long we've been in Christ, how long we've been saved, we still are maturing in Christ. I'm not talking about those individuals like that, but when we are in the kingdom of God, it's imperative that we find ourselves even in error, that we confess our faults. That's what the Bible tells us, to confess our faults one to another, so that we can, you know, so that we can get on the right track. And we have to teach each other how to operate in maturity. It doesn't happen having this lifestyle of Christianity. You're not gonna come in as a mature adult. You know, it's just like life itself. I once was a child, I speak as a child, but when I become adult, I put away those childish things. And we have to teach individuals how to put away those childish things. And gossip is one of those tools that the enemy uses to keep us in an immature state.
I love it. Thank you. Amen. I love turning it and saying, have you spoken to them directly? So I like what you said. Great answer. Thank you.
One of the things that we have not touched on, and maybe we will, is that it is not only the person that is gossiping that could be at fault. A lot of times, it's the person that's listening or entertaining the gossip. I think that one way we can shut down gossip is to tell the person, please don't talk. If you're going to gossip, please, I don't want to hear your conversation. So as long as the person's pulling their ear up and putting a little hand up on their ear and saying, "Ooh, I'm ready to hear what you have to say," and it's gossip, then we allow the person that's gossip to continue gossiping, and that is just as wrong as the person that's gossiping.
Amen. I totally agree with that. Anyone else want to chime in? I think that's a very valid point. Yeah.
To kind of cut off the gossip is you if you don't want to have to tell a person, well, don't tell me this, and if you're more mild mannered, you can just change the subject.
Mm-hmm.
When they start in it, change the subject.
No, I love that. That's another, a course of action to take to counter that. But to what Pastor Campbell said, I love that too. So Gail, how do we hold each other accountable without sounding judgmental?
Well, I think that, you know, when it's happening, you know, depending on the relationship that you have with them, then you speak up right then.
Yeah.
You know, how do you know that this is even true? I would question where they're getting it from. But one of the biggest things that I believe in flipping it is, well, we need to pray about this.
Yeah.
Okay, so we need to, this is what you heard? Okay, well, this is something that we need to, that we should be praying about. And so I think that if we remind one another what we're really supposed to be doing, even if we hear it, and even if we take the time to hear it out, because like we said earlier, some things, some information that's being shared may not necessarily fall under the whole gossip scenario, but either way, I believe that prayer should be injected into that, whether it's true or false, and not praying for, not praying witchcraft prayers or controlling prayers, but praying God's intervention in whatever the situation is. And I believe when you include God in that and include our responsibility as men and women of God, then when you start talking about prayer and addressing situations in prayer, I think it would bring even the person that's sharing the gossip back into pull them away from the gossip stance, as opposed to, this is what you're hearing, and this is where you need to be praying about this. So, yes.
This episode is brought to you by the Black Farmers Hub and by Peanut and Zeb's Grocery Stores. Both serve as a platform for Black farmers and food and beverage makers. Inspired by their family legacies with a mission to provide a platform for Black and brown farmers. Support their work by visiting thesweeterjuice.com as they consistently advocate for food sovereignty and assist with alleviating food apartheid. The Black Farmers Hub and Peanut and Zeb's Grocery Stores.
So this last question is for all of you. What advice would you have for someone who's been the target of gossip in the church? So that, because gossiping is always, like we talked about, it can be exciting and fun and entertaining until the shoe's on the other foot. So what advice would you have for that person who's a target of gossip? And I'll start with you, Pastor Campbell.
First of all, I wanted to say, that's a very hurtful thing when you've been the target of gossip. And whether it's something started out true, and then, like Gail said previously, the story was changed around as it was passed on, and to it was hurtful. So we're at the point of where a person has been the target of it. Well, obviously, there are different feelings that people have about that. And Gail mentioned church hurt. That's a famous saying now. Then also church disgust, which, just turns people off from the church. One of the things that I believe the advice has to come with prayer and the word, because Jesus is the healer. Jesus the scriptures and the Lord has to come into focus when this begins, especially in the body of Christ. So therefore, we have to comfort people when they've been hurt through the church. We have to encourage them that God is still on the throne and God can lift you up. Sometimes in church hurt, a person may need to move if they have their membership at one place, they may need to move from that particular place to a place they may feel more comfortable. You know, but I don't necessarily encourage that as the first step. But I think that the first step is to engage in prayer, engage in loving the person that's been the target of it, to show them that you care because God still cares. There may be fault at others in the church, but I think that as we continue to encourage and lift people up, they will understand that that others may need a growth process in their lives, and not to just take it and shut them down also.
Amen. Thank you for that. Evangelist Wanda Devon, what you got?
Yes. I like to piggyback on Pastor Campbell. Like you said, after we pray about the situation, we've been hurt and the gossip has done its damage, you know, it's time for us to punch that devil in the eye. I have to say it. I'm just making a pain by, you know, exposing the enemy for what he is. You know, we have to bring all parties together if it's a situation like that, especially if we're in the church, because we want to mature in the church. You know, that we should bring the elders together, like the words of God says, you know, bring those elders together, the mature elders that want to find peace and that wants both parties to mature so that it does not spread a cancerous through the congregation. So we should bring them together and resolve it, expose the truth from error, and then talk about it, because I think communication is key. When the enemy utilizes gossip to distort and destroy individuals, you know, the word of God said the truth shall make us free. So we have, yes, sometimes have to bring, you know, the untruth and the truth together so that we can let the individuals know that first, identify where we were in error at, and then what we could do to mature and prevent ourselves from being subject to the enemy's tactics. Because, you know, if you want to really please the Lord and want, you have a strong relationship with God, no one wants to be on the bad end of that stick. You know, once you find out that you are in error, you want to make correction. A true believer does anyway. You want to make corrections. You want to make sure that you're in right standards with God. And being in right standards with God means you have to, you know, you have to be in a repentant state, especially if you are in error, if you are in the wrong. If you know the enemy utilized you as the gossip individual, then you know you got to do some apologizing, you know, correct yourself, you know, and I think a lot of individuals in the kingdom of God, that we forget about repentance is key. You know, we should wake up daily repenting, because I don't care how mature we are in the gospel, the enemy knows how to manipulate us all, and it takes our relationship with God, contingent upon how bad of a situation is. You might have to pray and fast so that we don't fall into our flesh, because we definitely don't want to be led by our flesh. And oftentimes the enemy knows how to lead us by just that, by our flesh. And sometimes we have to pray so that we pray and we fast so that we can hear God clearly, so he can give us the right directives how to resolve the situation. Once we bring in the elders of the church or the pastor or the leaders of the church to identify the issue, especially, like I said, if it's a real strong issue that's going to cause very strong damage to the congregation and within the ministries, we have to talk about it. You know, we have to discuss what is appropriate and what is not appropriate, what will be allowed and what won't be allowed. These are the standards. As the kingdom of God, as a disciple of Christ, these are the standards. And if you can't uphold the standards, then, you know, you might have to, you know, set down, but there's some things, there's some corrective measures that has to be done so that cancer can't grow. And it's depending upon what the state is, you know, you have to keep exposing, you know, the enemy's tactics and keep exposing the lie and let them know that won't be tolerated.
And then, of course, you know, if they're put in the word where the word has been spoken and the truth has been spoken, you know better. If you know better, then I'm expecting you to uphold the word of God. I'm expecting you to exhibit the word that I'm teaching you, the word that I know that you're hearing. You're hearing the same word. I know that, you know, the word can fall on different grounds. But this is the expectation that that word is going to grow in you, whether you want it to or not. And I'm going to help you according to the word. I'm going to pray with you. I'm going to lead. I'm going to help guide you to walk into your a stronger relationship with God. I will help you to do that if you so desire. I will help you to walk in a level of deliverance if you so desire. I will help teach you how to do that. And I will show you by example. Yeah, I'll show you by example myself, and I'll give you some past, because the word of God said we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of my testimony. I can testify mm-hmm. where I was once on the other side. I was once on the on the side that you're on. You know, I haven't always done all things right. You know, I can testify and let you know I once was lost too. I once was in error too, and somebody had to come and correct me so that I can be in right alignment with the word of God. And right with alignment with my relationship with the Lord, because ultimately it's about your relationship with the Lord. And I think that's what the church has missed. And we have gotten so much relationship with each other that our relationship with God is faltered. Therefore, if our relationship with God is faltered, then how can we know how to really truly have a relationship with one another if we don't have a true relationship with the Lord? Because the word of God said that the Holy Ghost is going to lead and guide you and bring you to all truth. When you are in error, I know it for myself. I said something wrong, had a wrong posture. I might not say nothing at all. My body posture was incorrect. And the Holy Ghost immediately said, now you need to correct that. Now go back and apologize. And the person might even not even known that I had a feeling some type of way about it. But the Holy Ghost knew. The Holy Ghost is dwelling and living in you, and you got a relationship with God. He's gonna lead. He's gonna correct you so that the enemy can, so that you can mature, and so that you still will be effective, like the woman of God says. So you can still be effective in ministry, still be effective in your assignment for the kingdom of God. We have to get back into a mature mentality when it comes to the kingdom of God. As a relationship is, I'm gonna build a relationship with you in the church, but my relationship with God is so much stronger. It's got to be in, because, you know, when you pass away, when you go away, when we separate, only the thing's going to be constant in my life is Christ. And I cannot afford my actions to hinder my relationship with the Lord. Therefore, I'm going to line up my way, my conduct, my communication as the word of God teaches me. So I won't falter with that. And that will build upon me having a strong relationship with those in church, those that are immature, those that are maturing, and those that are seasoned in the gospel. It will help to line up according to that, according to the word of God.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. Thank you. Minister Gail Campbell, take us home.
Take us home. But you know what she was just saying and talking about, one thing about if the Lord is dwelling in you, the Lord will check you. The Spirit will check you. And whether you yield to that check or not is up to you, because we have control. God is not a bully. He's not gonna bully us into saying or doing right. But I mean, I can say personally, I experience it every day, one way or another, when God checks me, and that's including saying something that is unnecessary, talking about something with certain people unnecessarily. The Holy Spirit will put you in check. If that Spirit of God is dwelling in you, it will put you in check. And then it's up to you to have wisdom enough to yield to the Spirit, letting you know, stop, shut your mouth, end the conversation, stop this now, this is for you to pray about. This is not for you to carry to two or three or more people. This is not for your entertainment. But it is, it as people of God, it is definitely up to us. Like the scripture proverb says, that a gossip reveals secrets. Therefore, do not associate with a babbler. And so that's telling us, all right, okay, you know what they're involved in, and it may be that you need to walk away from it just to keep yourself in check and on point, because you can easily get sucked into the whole gossip, the whole information, whether it's true or untrue. And then next thing you know, you're lumped in with the gossipers and with the babblers, and you're a part of it. Now your witness is affected. Your anointing is affected. And in that being affected, the kingdom of God is being negatively affected in your corner because of the self-control that we did not practice. So, yeah, that's it. That's all I got to say.
I want to get in the home. I believe this could be applicable to our conversation. Jesus gave a parable or of parables of a lost coin, a lost sheep, and a lost son. And in each case, especially with the lost coin and the lost sheep, Jesus said that the 99, he went to find the lost sheep, and with the lost coin, the woman swept the house.
This episode is brought to you by Kingdom Harvest Church, helping people discover, develop, demonstrate, and duplicate God's love as disciple-making leaders. Visit their webpage at www.khcnc.org. Kingdom Harvest Church.
Home until you found that coin. In other words, there are people that are hurting. And I think there cannot be a rejection no attention paid to the person that is hurting, and we just go on with church business as usual. That's what I was really trying to point out. The son became lost, but the father always, when the son was returning, the father had his eyes on him already. Uh-huh. And so with that being said, we've got to go to those that are hurting with the utmost care and with the utmost love to help them come back to the cause that Christ came for. That's it.
Well said, well said. Thank you so much. And I appreciate all three of you sharing your spiritual wisdom and really giving our listeners some nuggets so they can really move forward in their everyday lives, not just in church, but at work, at school, wherever we may be. So it's a serious subject, something that needed to be discussed. So God bless y'all. Thank you again, and I will see you next time.
Thank you.
Don't forget to follow the Unknown Preacher LA podcast. We're on all podcast platforms.
It's the unknown. Unknown. It's the unknown. Unknown preacher. It's the unknown preacher. the unknown.